speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
If I were to ask the average man or woman on the street, does a person have to be a member of the church to be saved? The answer probably 99.9% of the time would be an absolute no. He would tell me the church does not save. Church is not my savior. He's been taught that is the case, that the church doesn't save. He's come to believe the implications that are with it. And so there are millions of people not going to church services on Sunday, and the church has lost its power for a good part of our society in this nation. And the question is not, does the church save us, but the issue is, of what is Christ the Savior? And I want to show that the church is the saved of this dispensation. Protestantism is a confusion of religions, has lost most of its power because of its divided condition. If the Lord's statement in Matthew 12, verse 25 and 26 means anything, when he said, "A house divided against itself shall not stand," then the people who profess to believe in the Lord must bring about an answer to the Lord's prayer for unity. In John 17, he prayed that all who believe on him through the apostles' word should be one. Why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Christ knew the sin of division. He pronounced a curse upon a house divided. He said it shall not stand. This divided condition of the religious world is contrary to the teachings of Christ. There is positively no Bible justification for religious divisions. Somewhere, someone has misled and misread the truth. The Bible cannot teach all these conflicting doctrines of Protestantism. Intelligent men know this, and many of them, unwilling to search for an answer, simply turn away, disgusted and infidelity, away from religion. Christ knew this, and he's commanded us to be one, as he and the Father are one. We might deny it, we might ridicule it, but we turn away from it, and it's going to stand to judge us in the last day. No businessman would be so foolish as to organize his establishment upon divided conditions that we accuse our Lord of building such with the church. For a business to send out 200 or 300 different salesmen giving each a different story to the same buyers concerning the same product would throw his business and his bookkeepers into confusion, throw perhaps his business into bankruptcy. Now, is it possible that our Lord, who came to save the world, would operate his affairs in such a way with such religious confusion in this world? Well, Paul says God is not the author of confusion in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. And we need to think about where we stand before God. Well, you may be ready to ask, well, what's wrong? What is our trouble? I believe it can be answered in a very simple statement. The world does not understand God's eternal purpose for the church. If men understood the church in the eternal purpose of God, they would not say such things as, "You're saved out of the church. The church doesn't really mean anything. The church is non-essential." Or, "The church is just so much ecclesiasticism. Church is just so much organization." They would know that man can't be saved out of the church the Lord built, and that only the church he built holds any promise to man. And I pray that you will think very seriously about what I'm saying, for I have nothing against my friends who differ with me. I know someone is wrong, and that God is not teaching me to preach one thing and someone else to preach just the opposite. It's possible for two men to be wrong about a certain thing, but it isn't impossible for both to be right when they contradict one the other, as is often the case in religion. When we're willing to be honest and serious enough to admit this truth and begin trying to find out from the Bible just what is right, it's then that we have no fear, for we're preaching only the truth of this book, preaching the Word of God. If I teach that one has to be in the church to be saved, and you teach that one does not have to be in the church to be saved, then common intelligence is forced to conclude that both of us just cannot be right. In Ephesians 3, verse 3 through 11, Paul is speaking of the grace of God given to him. And then he says, "By revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, and he says in Ephesians 5, the body is the church, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, here we find what Paul calls the mystery in other ages. That is, before the church was established, back during the law of Moses, what was that mystery? It is not how men are saved. This mystery that is now revealed was that the Jew and Gentile should be fellow heirs. They can be in the same body, be partakers of the same promise in Christ. They can be partakers of the gospel. And that being true, then the body of Christ, which Paul calls the church in Ephesians 1:22, is not an accident. It's not a substitute for a plan that failed. It's a fulfillment of the plan that God had in mind when he sent Christ to this earth to die on Calvary in the first place. It's in this body of the church that both were to become fellow heirs and partakers of the promise through the gospel. And that being true, it is salvation to all men can only be enjoyed in the body. Which body? The church of Christ, his body. It was a part of this mystery of the other ages, but now revealed in its fullness. This truth is as eternal as God, for it is his way of uniting both unto God in Christ by the cross. In explaining why he was called of God, Paul says that I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That reading Ephesians 3, verse 10 and verse 11. Friends, here we have my subject almost word for word. Paul declares in this letter that the church, which was a part of this mystery that's now revealed, was in the mind of God from the beginning, that it was part of the eternal purpose of God when he sent Christ to this world. One thing we know, premillennialism, which teaches that God sent Christ to set up an earthly kingdom, but for some reason wasn't able to fulfill that, that theory denies the church was a part of the original plan of God. That theory has been defeated, for the apostle of the Lord has declared that the church is to be a part of the mystery. In other ages it was a mystery, but now it's been revealed through the mind of God, and it was in his mind from the beginning. And last, that it was the eternal purpose of God, that by the church the manifold wisdom of God should be made known unto the world. So we're forced to conclude that the church, as well as the kingdom, is the direct fulfillment of the eternal purpose of God, that he established the church, and that by it and in it God's wisdom might be manifested, and that both Jew and Gentile should be fellow heirs in this one body, the church. With this being true, we're forced to conclude that salvation to the entire world by Christ after his death is in the church, and that it's only in Christ and in his church. We're made to wonder why the Lord said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're made to wonder if man doesn't have to be a member of it. Why was he so determined to build his church if it's non-essential? Why his determination that the gates of hell should not prevail against it if it has no vital place in the salvation of man? May I suggest that it might be advantageous for you and your family to investigate the Church of Christ, to investigate the plea. Suppose you can't be saved out of the church. Then what? Since the Lord was determined to build it, since it is the fulfillment of the eternal purpose of God in sending Christ to earth, since Paul teaches that it is in the church that both Jew and Gentile to be partakers of the promise of Christ, do you not think that you and yours should strive to find out just how you may become members of this body, this church, in which all the world is to be reconciled unto God by Calvary? Maybe one's ready to say, but I'm saved by the blood of Christ. Church has nothing to do with my salvation. Well, get your Bible out and read with me Acts 20, verse 28. There Paul says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Friends, it is the church that's bought with the blood of Christ. It is the church that is the blood-bought possession of Christ. And that's why you need to be in Christ, and the only way to get into Christ is to be obedient to his gospel, and when you're in Christ, you're in the church. Because the Lord added the saved to the church. Acts 2, verse 47. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, here we plainly see that man is lost. He cannot, on any condition of his own, save himself. And it's not through corruptible things. It is through the precious blood of Christ. And it was through the precious blood of Christ that the church was bought. And it's through the blood of Christ, which we contact when a penitent soul has confessed his faith, is buried with Christ in baptism, he's been baptized into Christ, into his death, Romans 6:3, where he shed his blood. And when that person completes his obedience in baptism, the Lord adds him to the church, Acts 2:47. When he faithfully serves the Lord unto death, Revelation 2:10, he shall receive the crown of life. If he's drifted away from the Lord, as Simon the sorcerer did in Acts 8, he needs to repent and pray God for forgiveness, come back to the Lord, that he might again be in a saved relationship with Christ in his church.